You know, every teacher has their ideal, and we certainly have ours when it comes to Bible teaching in Christ. I think one of the most important parts of being the master teacher was that Jesus was a master learner. In every qualification for officers in the church, this qualification stands out best, I think, is that he learned first. And then he was qualified. Jesus learned by the things which he suffered. And he was made perfect. He wasn't perfect to start out with. He was made perfect in his death, which was the final, of course, the final sacrifice. But the scripture says he learned obedience. Now, if you learn, you don't know it before, do you? He learned to be obedient by the things which he suffered. And so I believe that one of the greatest things about Jesus as a teacher was that he was a learner. He was a good student. He was precocious. How do I know that? What do I mean by precocious? He was way beyond his age level for learning. At the age of 12, he went in and talked with the doctors of the law. He not only talked with them, he listened first. I want you to notice that. He listened. Solomon said, if you want to be a wise man, walk with wise men. Well, Jesus walked with wise men. He listened to what they had to say. But he didn't just sit there and was so awed by them that he didn't have anything to say back. It shows that he had a good image of himself, even at 12 years old, that he had a right to ask questions. And he did ask questions of the most learned men of his day. And they were amazed at his answers, weren't they? Because he had answers way beyond them and way beyond us, too. Luke kind of sums it up in the second chapter, the last of the second chapter of Luke, when he says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You know, it's one thing to know a lot, and it's another thing to know how to use it. Wisdom is how to use the knowledge that you have. A lot of people know a lot. I know a mathematician who tried to teach me math, and I was probably a challenge to him. But he couldn't teach anybody math. He knew so much math, he couldn't teach anybody math. He couldn't even talk plain enough to understand it. There was a man who was filled with knowledge. He helped figure out the atomic bomb. That's how much math he knew. And when I asked him, Dr. Lee, how advanced is this math we're taking? ABCs, ABCs. Wasn't ABCs to me, it's XYZ. Totally out of touch. Jesus was not out of touch with his time. He increased in wisdom, he increased in favor with God, and he increased in favor with man. And I think we ought to, in order to have a well-rounded teacher, he not only has to know his subject, he has to be wise in the way he applies it, and he has to follow convention so far as society is concerned, or they won't listen to him. He has to follow the truth, or God won't listen to him. You see, we have to come to a happy medium there. I want to please God, I want to please my student, but I never please my student at the expense of God. And I don't please God at the expense of the student. I can't do that, can I? There's no way that I can please God and have the student pay for it. No way. I think Jesus was the master teacher because he was committed to it early in his life. 30 years of age, he was ready to die for it. I think you and I have to be committed too. I believe that we ought to put teachers up in front and lay hands on them so that the whole congregation knows, here is the man that's teaching my child. Here is the man that's trying to teach my wife or my husband. Here is the man that's responsible for what they experience in their class. Jesus stood up and was counted at the age of 30. Now, maybe that's significant and maybe it isn't. But I believe many times we have people teaching who should not be teaching. They aren't ready to teach. They don't have enough knowledge to teach. They don't have enough skill in handling other people. They don't have enough skill to handle themselves. Jesus was in command of himself first, and then he could control or he could guide others. Until I get all my marbles straight, I have no business being up teaching. If I have to say, I think this means this, I'm in a bad way. I ought to know it means that until you can prove me it wrong, until you can prove it otherwise. I believe Jesus knew what he was talking about. I wish we had the commitment that he had. I believe Jesus had one goal in teaching. It wasn't to make himself of any reputation. He didn't care whether people thought he was the best teacher in the land or not. He cared about his students. Do we really care about what our students learn in our class? Or are we more concerned about what people think about my job of teaching? You know, I lay awake last night. I woke up at least three times, once at 2 o'clock, once at 4 o'clock, and once at 6 o'clock this morning, worrying about what I was going to say here. And I finally came to the conclusion, Marvin, are you worrying about whether they're going to learn anything, or are you worrying about your reputation as a teacher? You see, it's on the line because each one of you will judge this session by what kind of job Walter and I have done. If you don't think that puts you on the spot, try it sometime. Jesus didn't care what people thought. He always did that which was right for his students and hang what anybody thought. He was concerned about the learner because he said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I didn't come to destroy people. I came to save them. From themselves, generally. Did Jesus know his subject matter? Oh, I think he knew his subject matter inside and out. But more important, he knew his students inside and out. How much do you know about the students that you're teaching right now in Bible class? Have you ever seen them in their home? Do you know how they respond to their mother and dad? Do you know how well they're doing in school? What are their interests when they're not at school, when they're not at church? What do they do? What do they think? Do you really know what they think? Jesus did. He had an edge on that, didn't he? No one needed to tell Jesus what I think. He already knew, didn't he? But I have an awful hard time getting out of you what you think. You see, Jesus was open, wasn't he? Wide open. But not everybody was wide open with him. But he knew why. Now that's what takes me half of my teaching time, is finding out what makes you click. I know what makes me click, but what makes you click? And a good teacher knows what makes her students click. Jesus knew his subject matter, but he knew his subjects better. Another thing that Jesus made him a master teacher was that he practiced what he preached. I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day, wouldn't you? Oh, you know, so much of my teaching is canceled out by my weakness, by my failures, by my losing my temper, by my impatience. I know that I ought to be patient with a person. But sometimes I get to the end of my rope. Is it an important lesson that he know I'm to the end of my rope too? Somebody said you should never get mad. I disagree with that. I think when the occasion calls for it, I ought to be mad as a hornet. I ought to be mad as a hornet. And you ought to know I'm mad as a hornet. Did people know when Jesus was mad? I guess they did. He took a whip and drove out the money changers and the dove sellers and all of them because he was mad. Mad at what? Something they had done. I believe that if Junior stands up in the middle of the table and starts to jig in the middle of my class, he needs to know that I'm mad at him for his behavior. Jesus never left any doubt when something displeased him. He never left any doubt when something pleased him either. I think another thing that made Jesus a master teacher was that he was not afraid of any man. Here he stood before Pilate, and Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power to either crucify you or let you go, and he said you wouldn't have any power at all if it weren't given you of my Father. You see, he wasn't afraid what Pilate could do to him, and I think a master teacher cannot be afraid. If he's afraid, he can't teach. When they told him that Herod would kill him if he didn't get out of the country, he said, you just go tell that fox that I'm going to do this and this and this, and the next day I'll do that. And it won't depend on him. I believe that Jesus was a master teacher because he challenged the most brilliant mind that ever walked the earth, and he challenged the dullest one that ever walked too. You remember the blind man in the 9th chapter of the book of John? He'd never learned. He'd never been to school. The Pharisees and the scribes says, you teach us? Who do you think you are, you dummy? Well, he said, I might teach you if you'd listen. I know this, that I was blind and now I see. I know that you can't do that for me. Who was the learner? He had already learned. And he asked them, would you be his disciples too? I believe he was kind of a dullard. I don't think that he would get 140 on an IQ test. But now you take Nicodemus, that's a different story. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night because he's afraid to come in the daytime, I believe. Jesus told him something that he couldn't understand, being born again. And Jesus said, well, how are you going to understand heavenly things if you don't even understand earthly things? Nicodemus was brilliant. Jesus challenged his brilliance, didn't he? The most brilliant person in your class is probably the one that acts up the most. Because he's bored with what you're doing. He's bored with what's going on. He wants some activity. He wants to do something. Cash in on that. Give him an opportunity to show what he knows. Give him an opportunity to do things. Because he wants to. I believe Jesus was a great teacher because he got personal. Some people say he meddled. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what do I do to reach the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, well, what have you already done? He enumerated those things. Jesus said, you just lack one thing, and I think this is one of the most important stories in the New Testament. You just lack one thing. How would you like to be in that position? I envy that man. I wish I just lacked one thing, don't you, Mary? You wish I did too, don't you? Jesus didn't disappoint him, did he? He said, let me tell you what's really at the bottom of all of your problems. The only thing that will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven is your wealth, and you've got to get rid of it. And he went away disappointed, didn't he? But did Jesus teach him a lesson? Oh, he made him see himself like nobody had ever made him see himself before. And that's our job as teachers, to make people see themselves like God sees them. Jesus let the learners think for themselves. He didn't give them the answer always, did he? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The lawyer came to him. Jesus finished it up, which of those loved? Which of those did? And he had to make a judgment. Remember Simon and the woman who washed Jesus' feet? And he said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. He said, say on. He expected to be commended, didn't he? But he didn't get commended because Jesus said, when I came, you didn't give me a kiss, you didn't give me water for my feet, you didn't anoint my head with oil. You say you should never point out the negatives of the person of the student? Yes, you should, if it's profitable. Jesus did to him, didn't he? And then he made him think, do you see this woman here? She's a prostitute, but she knows what common courtesy is. She showed me common courtesy when I came in. Now, which do you think will get a reward from me? Jesus got personal, didn't he? He let people think for themselves. I believe Jesus was a master teacher because he felt the urgency of the situation. And I think that you are here today because you see the urgency of our situation. We are not getting the job done when it comes to teaching. We've offered you some suggestions this morning, Walter and I have. It's a two-man show, isn't it, Walter? But I want you to share with us some of your thinking before you leave today. We're going to ask you to evaluate, not say, well, it was a good show, not say it was a bad show, but tell us what you expected when you came. I want you to have two parts to this. Take a piece of paper. Each one of you, I've got some extra paper up here, but you need to put your name on it. I don't care to know your name. You're important individually, but you're more important collectively right now. Alan, would you mind passing these out? Sure, everybody has it. I want you to put it on a separate piece of paper. Please. Put down, number one, what you expected to get here today. And number two, what you would like to have gotten that you didn't get. Now, these will not be personal unless you make it personal. If you put your name on them, well, I'll know it's you. Huh? Number one, what did you expect today? Did you get what you expected? Number two, what would you like to have if we have another one? What would you include that we didn't include? So you got to do a little thinking. You see, Jesus made his students think, led them to think. He didn't make them think. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do, is to help us to think about what we could do to improve the teaching in the Lord's church, either through a workshop, a jam session, a brainstorming, or anything else that you can think of. Here's a chance to be creative on your own. No, one sheet. Just put both answers on one sheet. Answer number one, what you expected. Number two, what you got, or what you'd like to have gotten. After having been here, what would you like to include that wasn't included? We're going to give you a few minutes to write that down, then we're going to have some questions and answers.